Fourth Street was always the hub of the village, with mums walking their children to and from school, then joining grands, aunties and other ladies shopping and generally chatting and catching up on the latest family news. It was so relaxed and friendly, everyone knew everyone else. I felt a special bond had developed with the village women folk, who had supported each other through the most difficult times of war years and the following years of adjustment. I cannot remember anyone falling out or disagreements happening. There were no gatherings on a Monday, though. That was washing and bed-changing day. Monday dinner, or lunch, as some people call it, was cold meat and bubble and squeak made from the Sunday leftovers. Nurse Robbins and her husband Jack, known to us as Uncle Johnny, lived in the district nurse cottage two doors away. They had become friends of my parents from day one. Uncle Johnny was a gardener at Lindridge House and Park. This magnificent house was destroyed by fire in 1963. He travelled to work each day on a small two-stroke motorbike. Nurse Robbins did her rounds on foot or by bicycle to start with, and then later drove a pale green Austin A30. She was an avid chain smoker. They had no children, but Uncle Johnny would buy fireworks each year for us. On bonfire night, it was my youngest brother's job to knock on their door and ask Nurse if Uncle Johnny could come out to play. He would join us to set off his box of fun. I think it was just an excuse for him to have some fireworks. Apart from the shops, I can remember milk delivered by Farmer and Mrs. Hooper of Ashville Farm on the back of an old van. They measured the milk from churns with long-handled milk measures, the milk then being poured into our own jugs. At one time, Mike Stevens from King's Dayton introduced a new milk round. He later married Maureen Honey from Bishop Stainton. Maureen's mum was the cook in charge at the school canteen on Radway Hill. My mum did not have a fridge, so in the summer any milk remaining at the end of the day was boiled and cooled to keep it overnight. For a short time we got our milk in wide-necked bottles and a cardboard top. These milk tops were highly prized by us children, especially if we could get them off without creating the small hole in the middle. The tops became part of a game called Milkies. The aim was for you and your rival to flick your milk bottle tops from about 6 feet. If it landed on your opponent's top, you won their top. The winner was the one with most. This joined other activities such as marbles. There were large and small sizes made of glass with different coloured streaks running through them. They had different names such as Red Alley, Blue Eye and Green Goblin. There were many other colours, some more valuable because of limited colour numbers. Another annual activity was conkers, collecting them and using a skewer or bradawl to make a hole through which it to thread a knotted string. Great fun as long as you watched your knuckles. On fine days during the school holidays and sometimes on a Saturday, we would collect car numbers. A useless activity, but it got us out from under Mum's feet. There were very few cars in the village, so we would walk to Cole's Barn and record the cars travelling between Timoth and Newton Abbot. I always enjoyed the I Spy books, with different ones used to record birds, flowers, trees, butterflies and many more. These contain pictures and information. The first ones we had were between 6 old pence and a shilling, which was quite expensive at that time. We always hoped to get one for our birthday or Christmas. As well as milk deliveries, there was a baker with a van that smelled incredible with its fresh baked bread, pasties, cakes, etc. There was also Captain Nathan, who deliver fresh fish once a week on his motorbike with an adapted sidecar. The fish began their journey on a pile of ice in the body of the sidecar with a wooden slab as a lid. He would cut, gut and fillet the fish while you waited. The entrails and offcuts were then swept into a container with the fresh fish. The knives and boards were wiped off with a well-used cloth, and then it was, "Next, please." The ice would gradually melt, and one would follow a blooded, watery line to the next customer. The coal merchant would call and carry sacks of coal from the front of to the back of the house. The kids would pick up any bits of coal that fell out of the sacks and put them in a bag before the coal man had chance to collect them on his way back to the lorry. During autumn, we would have a delivery of logs. It was the job of Dad and my elder brothers to chop to make sticks and smaller logs for the fire. The younger children stacked the sticks and logs. Mr. Dyer had a piggery at Flow Point. He would call once a week, free of charge, to collect pig food. That was food waste, peelings, rotting veg, etc. from the houses. I hated the smell of his old van. I think this must have been a service left over from the war years, when nothing was to be wasted. When Mr. and Mrs. Gurr took over the butcher shop of my aunt and uncle, he started to keep his own pigs, and my mother's food waste then went to him. A rag and bone man visited the village on occasions, and if we were lucky and Mum could find something to bargain with, the children were rewarded with a goldfish. They never, however, seemed to last long. The Corona man also called with a variety of fizzy drinks. The bottles were filled with a wire-hinged top to keep the fizz in. Sometimes when opening, it would sound like an explosion. I liked the raspberry and the dandelion and burdock. Mum would pay a few pence a fortnight, which was marked onto a card, so we would have some Corona drinks for the Christmas holidays. The Corona would complement foods Mum had been preparing through the year in readiness for Christmas. There were pickles and chutneys, as well as making the Christmas puddings. The pudding eaten this year had been made from the previous year. The silver sixpences were added unseen when served, so everyone got one. At the end of the day, the sixpences were collected, washed and put back away safely for the next year. The cake was made partway through the year so it would mature. For good luck and to make a wish, we all had to stir the Christmas pudding and cake during the making. Christmas was fun. We woke to a sock at the end of the bed with an orange, some walnuts, a few sweets and a 2 shilling piece. We then knew Father Christmas had been. When Mum and Dad were ready, we all went downstairs where the rest of the gifts were.